Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Vincent Xavier, and I am with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, darling.
Good morning, everyone. God bless all in all. Another day to get it right. Hallelujah.
Amen. Another day to get it right, and it may sound like we're in a different studio today, and we most certainly are. We're in a mobile studio, and we're traveling on this beautiful day to a very special place, but we wanted to just come on Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, we are not broadcasting on the Omega Radio Network, and today we're going to talk about something. However, Omega Radio Network is live right now as well, 24/7, with other broadcasts. Now, we've been up, what time did we go to bed last night? Around 1 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
And we've been up since around 4 in the morning, so we're going on 3 hours, and we would appreciate your prayers. Thank you. And we're not seeing colors yet or any pink elephants. Everything is good. And we're not even sure if we're actually going through the airwaves right now, but I think we are. And, you know, one of the things that I would hate, Patricia, more than anything, if there were ever such a thing as a concentration camp, is sleep deprivation. I don't know how I would do on that. How about you?
I don't think it's meant to be that way for anybody. It certainly will break down the spirit, mind, and body.
Sleep is important. With all the things going on in this world, you wonder, you know, people are not sleeping. And so there has to be that genuine trust and that genuine confidence and that genuine peace that each one of us has, because it is what it is. I mean, we've been talking with some people for the last couple of days and just counseling and getting through different things. And folks, I'm telling you, it is so important that our conscience is clear before God in every situation. It is the most important thing. And I don't know how to say it because I don't know if I could verify it factually, but everything inside of me says if we are carrying unforgiveness at any level and we allow that unforgiveness to weigh heavy upon our conscience, at some point, it's kind of like the final straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like your conscience can only handle so much before it snaps. And a lot of people that are dealing with Alzheimer's or dementia or mental problems, I believe there's a direct connection to the spirit of unforgiveness, regret. What is regret? It's just remembering the failures of the past. But with regret, there's no opportunity to see our failures turned into success. And that's what God does. He turns everything inside out. And so if we're not sleeping, now we didn't sleep because we have a long journey ahead of us and we had to get on the road. But if we're not sleeping because we're troubled in our conscience by what's going on in the world, by what's happening in our relationships, by reports that we are hearing, by things that we know are coming. Listen, as born-again, spirit-filled Christians possessing the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is our example. And when the major storm was raging upon the disciples in the midst of the sea, you know where Jesus was. He was sleeping in the back of the ship on a pillow. Jesus' conscience was so clear before God, it really didn't matter what was going on around him. Our awareness, I mean, think about the things Jesus knew. I mean, he knew he was going to the cross. He knew the Roman Empire was going to fail. He knew what was coming down the pike against his own life. I mean, and yet he didn't let that bother him. He was able to sleep in the midst of the storm. And so we've been talking with people this week in a lot of counseling. You know, we do a lot more than just get on radio and, you know, that type of thing. It's constant, never-ending counsel from one place or another. And what we're recognizing is there are people that are just unwilling to let go of their past. They're unwilling to let go of what people have done to them. And the most beautiful Christian people that just would not in that one area of their life let it go are suffering deeply. And we still believe that nothing is impossible with God. We believe that with God, all things are possible, that dementia, Alzheimer's, mental problems, demonic possession, you know, those things could be handled by the Spirit of God. There's nothing that God can't do. But he's got to get through to people this message of the cross, this message of forgiveness. It is the most important thing going. And, you know, there are other people that are walking around and nothing serious has happened to them. And yet there's this incubation of regret or this incubation of unforgiveness or the unwillingness to let go. And I'm warning everybody, all of us, that if that's the case, it's going to snare us at some point. In fact, when Jesus talked about many people allowing their love to wax cold, it's probably because they're going to carry this offense. And offendedness comes through unforgiveness. So we must daily, if there was one thing that we would spend the rest of our lives doing, okay, it would be actively pursuing letting go of our past failures, our own personal sins, and what people have done against us, and forgiving ourselves for what we have done to others. It is what it is, and that's not an insensitive statement. But it is an imperative. It is the power of the cross. It is the thing that the world can never understand, that Jesus Christ died for sinners while we were enemies, and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And if we don't forgive ourselves, we're putting ourselves above Christ. And if we don't forgive others, we're putting ourselves above Christ. And the danger in that is that if we don't forgive others, we will not be forgiven. If we don't forgive ourselves for what we've done to others, we won't be forgiven. And so the one thing that is the most important thing, in all sincerity, for is the clearing of the conscience. And that comes with forgiving. Patricia, you've written a whole book on this issue. Speak into that.
Absolutely. The destructive force of the enemy, the devil himself, is the destructive force of unforgiveness. It's the most destructive force on earth. There is nothing more damaging to a soul. And for that reason, we are afflicted all the days of our life if we have not forgiven. We will be afflicted mentally. We will be afflicted spiritually. We will be afflicted physically unto death. There is nothing more damaging than to hold regret and bitterness within a person's heart. And when I say heart, that is synonymous with the soul. The soul is the catch-all, and it receives all from generational bloodline curses and from spiritual wickedness in high places. And because it causes us to sin in manner and way that is the most damaging way of all. Unforgiveness is a principality, a hierarchy in the spiritual realm. Forgiveness is the only way to peace and joy, holiness, and eternal life. When I say eternal life, I mean eternal life. Unforgiveness is destruction unto eternal death. And when I say eternal death, I mean eternal death. That means in that position forever. And the torment will be something one would never, ever begin to understand in the death process.
Oh, well said. And, you know, I'm thinking of all these scriptures are going through my mind about the conscience, where Jesus talks in the scriptures about if your conscience or if your eye be clear, then your whole body will be full of light. Now, you notice it's not if your eyes in the plural that he talks about, but he talks about if your eye, singular, referring to the conscience. It's your conscience is what sees. It's what you're aware of. It's the conscious eye, if you will. And if your conscience be clear, your whole body will be full of light, which means sickness and disease will literally not have a dwelling place in the body. Now, that is humongous. And I would agree with the individual that's out there today saying, come on, guys. We're talking about forgiveness again. We've already heard that 1,000 times. I know. I agree with you. It's like, let's get on, right? But do you know there are people everywhere that are living with this dis-ease, and it is a disease. It is a dis-ease. And anytime you have unforgiveness in your heart, it is a dis-ease. And people are living with this, and it's like a cancer. If you don't address it, it has the potential to take over the whole body, because if your eye is dark, if your conscience is dark, the other side of the scripture, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And what does that mean? That gives opportunity to all kinds of sickness and disease and evil things. I mean, what is the point of knowing all the things that we have learned if we're not going to be able to walk and deal with them with the elementary thing of forgiveness? So again, we want to rush on, we want to move on, but I want to remind our listeners of a story of something that happened to me, and I definitely want to get back to the scriptures and get into the word, but I want to remind the people of God out there today something that God taught me many years ago in San Diego, California. It's a true story. It was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a beautiful blue sky day, sunshine everywhere, 1 in the afternoon, not too many people on the road. And I was driving up a road called Bernardo Heights Parkway, and I'm like the only car on this road, and I just need to get – I'm like, gosh, a minute from home. And I turn on this road, and then I see this scene in front of me. It's a real scene. And I noticed these two elderly people. They must have been in their 80s. They were holding on to each other as they were standing outside of their car. And they were – I remember it being like a brown Cadillac or something. And then about, I don't know, 200 feet away, I don't know the exact – but far away from them was a guy laying in the middle of the road and a bicycle that was twisted into a pretzel. And I got out of my car, and I ran over to the man that was on the road. And out of his head, it was like a sieve. Blood was just pumping out of this guy's head. His leg was wrapped around his neck, and his other leg was so broken it twisted into a pretzel. And I take my shirt off. I'm praying in the spirit now. I wrap it around this man's head, and I'm just praying to God, Jesus. You know, I'm not a medic. I don't know how to deal with this stuff. So I'm doing what I know to do. I'm praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, this guy starts yelling at me, and he says, "Get away from me. Get away from me. I got to go." And he became so obnoxious. I stood up, and I said, "All right, go." I didn't know what else to do. And, of course, the man was in pure shock, and he didn't know his true condition. He just wanted to get up, get on his bike, and be on his merry old way. And yet that was impossible. And around that time, obviously, somebody had called an ambulance, and the paddy wagon comes, if you will, the ambulance, and they get the stretcher out, and they put this man on it, and they put him into the back of this ambulance, and they whisk him away, and I get in my car, and I'm driving. Like I said, I was about a minute from home, and I'm so angry, and I'm bawling my eyes out, and I'm saying, why did I have to see that? Why on this beautiful day did I have to see this guy with blood pumping out of his head, twisted like a pretzel, and then have to endure his obnoxious, in-shock condition? Why? And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, whoever's listening to this broadcast, the Spirit of God spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you right now, and he said, "Vincent, this is the condition of my church." He said, there are people that are so broken, they have been torn to shreds by the powers of darkness, and they are in complete shock, and they are walking like that man. They just want to get on. They want to go. They want to walk. Leave me alone. I got to go. But they are in shock, and they are not moving forward in my purposes at all. Man, when I heard that, I knew there was a message and a calling in my life from that day to reach out to God's people and say, you've been broken. you are twisted, you are bleeding, you have been torn, and you have got to get healed. You need to be restored. And the only way is to recognize what has happened to you. So you've got to go back and see what is real. You've got to get out of shock. And so this is a dynamic work of the Holy Spirit. Now, our nation is in shock right now. I don't know if you know it or not, but the people that are walking on this planet are spiritually dead. They have a death sentence hanging over their head. They have the condemnation is on their lives. You and I are living in a world environment that this generation of Christians, we are in shock. Man, now, I'm not claiming I'm in shock. I think God has kept me out of a shock point. We're not all there, but the majority of people are in shock, and they're Christians that they just want to go to church, and they just want to go through the motions, and they just want to wake up and be happy, but they're broken because somebody has offended them so dearly. Somebody has ripped them to shreds. Somebody has slandered them. Somebody has offended them so deeply. They are so intrinsically broken, and their conscience is dark. And their whole body is full of darkness and sickness and disease. And they have terrible feelings about themselves and horrible thoughts about themselves. And they have no real strong, powerful faith and motivation to get up and live in the glory of God in reality. So they're trying to do it another way, and it's not working. And there are so many broken people. And they're thinking they're okay, and they're not okay, and they're coming into the disease. And what have we seen in the last couple of years? We've seen people dying of lymphatic cancer, heart disease, lung cancer, ovarian cancer. We've watched leukemia. We've seen brain cancer. And these are Christian people that are dying of these very serious diseases, and we're going, what's the connection here? And sometimes you go back and you're not accusing anybody, you're not condemning anybody, you're just going, you know what? There seemed to have been some bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, something inside of their own psychology that was not dealt with by the Lord, something that they didn't let go of, or something to that effect. And Patricia, I don't know, but this seems to be the most important thing right now to me.
I agree with that, and I understand what you're saying about it and the importance of it for our life, because in this day that we are in, there will be many offenses, according to the Bible. Matthew 24 speaks of it in the last days, that multitudes of offenses will come, and for that reason, many loves will wax cold. And when that happens, one becomes embittered. And that bitterness, according to Scripture, will defile not only the individual, but will defile all that's around and about that individual. And in that defilement, our bodies become intoxified. And by that I mean toxin will be released within our physical body through stress, through unforgiveness, and in that, we become sick. We become infirmed by the unforgiveness within our heart, and our heart becomes hard. Our bodies become ill, and then death is at the door, and we lose both physically and spiritually, especially at a time where the Lord is ready to come back for his church. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Are you that individual? Am I that individual? We can be if we will make it a definite point in our lives through prayer to forgive and not to receive offenses. And I pray for each and every one of us that that will be the situation for those that are listening and everyone who is of the Lord.
All right. So what I'm wanting to do is I want to find that scripture that if your eye is full of light, than your whole body if your eye is full of light. And I just want to go through this because it helps us to see what the Word of God is saying, because we're talking about a conscience that is clear. And there's a quote here, and it's coming in, and I want to get this, Matthew 6:22. The eye is the lamp of the body, okay? So let's go back there to Matthew 6:22. And I like what it says here. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The lamp of your body is only as good as the light bulb of its eyes. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? And I want to again read Matthew 6:22. Let me just get there for a second. And it says this in Matthew 6:22. Again, we're talking about how to live in the end times, right? How are we going to survive? How is this going to get through? So Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single or whole, your whole body will be full of light. So again, we're talking about the conscience. We're talking about having a clear conscience. I don't know if you ever met anybody that had a clear conscience before, but they seem to have nothing bothering them. And when nothing's bothering you, it's not an exemption of knowing what's real. A clear conscience does not afford denial. A clear conscience is when your heart, your body is full of peace, it's full of light, it's full of love, it's full of joy. In other words, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are really activated inside of you, and your conscience is clear, and you're always aware, because the enemy always wants to infiltrate the garden, right? The enemy, the adversary of our soul, wants to infiltrate the garden. He wants to talk us out of our salvation. And when we talk about working out your salvation with fear and trembling, one of the ways we do this is to concentrate, get the Word of God in us to do the work. We're washed and we're cleansed by the Word of God and by the blood of Christ through faith. We're purified by faith. Our hearts are purified by faith. And the conscience being cleared of all guilt, shame, and condemnation. Why is that important, that you and I do not walk with guilt, shame, or condemnation? It's important because when we are in guilt, when there is shame, when there is condemnation, we can't really be useful to the Lord. And here the cross nullifies all of that. Now, there are people that are having problems everywhere, folks. I'm telling you right now, it was brought up in our meeting last night, that if you go to a restaurant today, the facts are, if you sit down at a restaurant, there's probably a good 18 other people around you in a normal restaurant. And can you imagine the burdens that people are carrying? And that the environments that are being created by what is going on in men's hearts or their souls. I like that Patricia said that the heart and the soul are synonymous, and I agree. And yet we know that the heart is the seat of the emotions. So when we talk about getting our hearts clean, we're talking about dealing with all of the interactivity of our soul, the emotions, the thoughts, the feelings. All of these things have to be cleaned up and sanctified before the Lord. This is a work. You see, what we do every day on radio, behind a pulpit, go about our business, the most important thing is working out our salvation. And to me, what that means to me is to receive what Christ has done for me and apply it to my life. So if the devil wants to accuse me every day for my faults, if the devil wants to slander me every day for my past mistakes, sins, corruption, defilement, whatever, my job in salvation is to apply the mercy and the blood of the atonement of Christ to that area of my heart, to say to the devil, no, you have no legal access. You have no right to accuse or condemn. But I have to work that out, because the devil is very aggressive sometimes to force our minds to remember what was done so that we could be hurt by it again. You see, but when it's cleansed, when it's confessed, when it's talked over with the Lord about, and it's over and we let it go and we forgive ourselves or other people, well, that just takes a tremendous amount of territory away from the devil. And to me, that's where our conscience comes clear. That's where we're not condemning ourselves anymore. We're not beating ourselves up anymore. We're not carrying it anymore. And so many people are. And listen, salvation is the most beautiful reality in the soul of any human being. If you want to see a beautiful human being, it's not going to come because of the placards on their wall or what university they went to or what color skin they have or how much money they have. If you want to see a beautiful human being, you want to see salvation operating in their lives, the salvation from the condemnation, the guilt, the shame, the death, the darkness, the defeat, the negativity that's inside because of sin. I mean, salvation is the thing that produces the greatest light and the oil of the anointing, Holy Spirit.
When a soul is condemned because of unforgiveness, that soul becomes and continues, doesn't become, already is, contaminated. And there's nothing more unsightly than individuals with contaminated souls. They are not pleasant to be around. They're very difficult to talk to and to reason with. And their understanding is darkened. It is our hope with a body, with the church, that we become that great light that Pastor Vincent was speaking of. And we can only do so if our soul is cleansed of all unrighteousness by the igniting of our Holy Spirit, or the igniting of our spirit by the Holy Spirit, to give us redemption and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, where the beauty can shine forth within us, where wisdom, divine wisdom and understanding, becomes a natural task in our life for others and for ourselves, without any concern or worry. In this day and age, we have to become worried-less. I'll never forget my dear mother when I said, Mom, why do you always have to be worried? And she said unto me, she says, what else would I do except I worry? And that's how most people work. Their minds are preoccupied all day long with worries and concerns. And so, people of God, it's time that we move onward.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And if you're just turning into the broadcast, we're looking at 9:28 right now. You're listening to the Watchmen on the Blog Talk Radio. We are not broadcasting live on the Omega Radio right now, but there is 24/7 live radio broadcast. And folks, if you're traveling, if you're getting out there, if you like listening to things, turn on OmegaRadio.org. Tell your friends and family to do the same. There are amazing broadcasts out there. There are amazing broadcasts. What do you need, babe? I'm sorry. That's okay. We're good. Patricia's so funny when she said the police are out there because we're driving down the road doing this. What a world we live in. All right. So, anyways, there's another scripture. I just want to bring this information out as well. I didn't have my seatbelt on, and I'm in the passenger seat here. Yeah, babe. No, babe, it's not. You're good. Just follow these folks. This is the most organic radio broadcast ever. So there's a scripture that tells us that people condemn themselves. They are self-condemned. I struggled with that for such a large part of my life. I'll be very honest with you. It was one of the great struggles. And I don't know if it was because I was born and raised in a you know, a Roman Catholic family, and Catholicism brought condemnation. I don't know where it came from, but I tell you what, I condemned myself for a long time, and it was very unhealthy. And the scriptures say that when you're self-condemned, what you're basically doing is setting yourself up as a god, and it's your own pride and your own unbelief that you somehow are beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. And what is important to know right now, folks, is that none of us are beyond the reach of God. Even the one with a reprobate mind, which Bob Hagen brought up yesterday, by the way, on our radio program, and he's airing all over Omega Radio right now. He brought up the fact that a reprobate mind is a useless mind without judgment. There's no sound judgment in it. But even there, salvation could come if the door is knocked upon and it's open. The only time in Scripture that I could tell that there's no forgiveness is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that is a slander against the Holy Spirit. We know that the spirit that's rising in the world today is a spirit of blasphemy. We know that the name written on the seven-headed beast is blasphemy. So blasphemy in the last days is a slander against God. And I know people that get upset with God and they, God, why did you let this happen? Or if God loved me, then why? You know, and God's too big to be offended by that stuff. And people normally come to their senses and they go, you know what? That wasn't really God. That was me. And, you know, maybe I don't understand, but I know God is perfect. And I know God, there's no darkness in God. And, you know, if there's any darkness around, it's in my own conscience. Come to their senses. But the people like Daniel Seckham talked about yesterday at these gates. All right, so I think we're back on the Blog Talk Radio. I'm pretty sure we are. And we, I don't know how long we've been knocked off, but we're just talking about the necessity, and it's something I just can't let go of. Patricia, just can't let go of this need to have a clear conscience, especially as we're walking into the darkest days.
Absolutely. These days are going to be challenging, folks. More than we even imagine in our fondest imagination. And so there's only one answer. Have a clear conscience, as my husband was saying, toward God. And what do I mean by a clear conscience? I mean a clear conscience without a sin conscience. In other words, I am not afraid anymore. I know my sins are forgiven, and I have forgiven others their sins. And there's nothing more freeing. There's nothing more beautiful that could be offered on life, on this world, in this world, on this planet. Being defiled is the horrible work of Satan himself, and it gives no good cause for life whatsoever. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. I don't care if you're a great CEO in the biggest corporation in the world. There is absolutely nothing except a clear conscience of God, a clear conscience that will walk circumspectively without fear, without worry, without concern. That is the highest place to be. That is the place where the heavenly spheres, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, is operating within your life. And it's time to grab hold of this. Don't wallow in sympathy of self. Don't wallow in worry and concern. They are the work of the enemy and not worthy of a Christian. It is time we rise up to the position God has called us to be. It is time we walk in our high place. It is time we become the overcomers that God called us to be of the world, flesh, and the devil. The time is now. Don't limit God. With a clear conscience toward God, knowing you're forgiven and forgiving others, your realm of position will be so incredibly beautiful. You will wonder how it is that we have ever been any other way. Oh, come on, people of God. Get excited for what God has in store for you. It is time to rise up and take position.
Amen. And let's just do this right now, Patricia. Let's just, I want to feed the flock of God out there today, whoever that person is. And I want this word that I'm about to read to you, God's word, I want this to get into your heart. I want this to create life in you. I want these words, if you will open your heart to receive these words, they will enter into you and they will transform your life because they're God's words. They're anointed words. But your heart must be open to receive. And so listen to this. Here's God's love message to you. I'm reading out of 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. And then I want to just scoot on over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loved his brother also. But remember, for God, right? Remember that God told us also to love our enemies. Our enemies, so that we would be the children of God. His sunshine is on the just and the unjust. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if we're real Christians, then love is the greatest weapon on earth. It's the only weapon that the Bible says never fails. Love never fails. Love does not have to be emotional. Love does not have to be a feeling. Love is an action. And the greatest act of love that you and I will ever know is the love that was demonstrated on the cross, where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became a sacrificial lamb, was slaughtered for the forgiveness of our sins, and the blood that came out of his body atoned for us. While we were enemies, while we were stupid, while we were sinners, and remember, we've all been defiled, we've all been corrupted, but through the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ on the cross, through the Word of God, we are now becoming pure and holy people, set apart, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. Let the love of God into your life. I'm going to continue to let the love of God in my life. I desire to walk in love because I've tasted the love of God, and it is good. And I not only am a recipient of love, but I also notice that when I am loving others, I am feeling great. It's true. When I have anything harsh towards anybody, my enemy or anybody, I just internally don't feel right. I'm not a free man, and I don't want to go into bondage. I've had enough of that in my life. How about you? I want to walk in the liberty of the Spirit, and I know it begins and ends with forgiveness, which is the greatest demonstration of love there is. Why do we love our brethren? How do we love our brethren? By forgiving them. Not by harboring bitterness, bad feelings, resentments, harsh tones, I'll never trust them again. Forget the nonsense. I was in a store yesterday, And I was talking with an individual that had gone through a divorce, bitter, resentful, never going to trust again. And I said to this individual, I said, do you know that when Jesus died on the cross, he did not die with his hands folded over his chest protecting himself, but he died with his arms wide open saying, go ahead and give it your best shot. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to take me away from going to this cross. And we need to be the same way. We need to stop the nonsense of I can't trust and I can't this and I can't that and what if they do it again? So what? Who are you and who am I? Really think about it. Are you really that important that you can't trust somebody or you're going to live the rest of your life in paranoid schizophrenia or whatever your problem is, you know, in fear? You're not that important. I'm sorry to say it. You're just not in those conditions. Now, you're important to God. We all are. That's why he bought us with the blood of his son. But you got to let go a little bit and lighten up. You know, people are people. People are going to do what people do. And if you're expecting everybody in the world, or me, if I'm expecting everybody in the world to cooperate, you know, that's foolish. Offenses are going to come, Jesus said.
Well, love. The spirit that we have been given from the Lord is love. And you may say or ask this question, well, what is love? Truthfully, what does it look like? Is it sloppy agape? In other words, I give in to everything wrong? No. True love has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. When we're given the Spirit, we're given the Spirit of love. And the Spirit of love is found in Galatians 5:22. We walk in the Spirit. And sing.
All right. Yeah, we need patience. Well, as we're driving, we go through these little mountain areas, and I hope everybody heard what Patricia just said. It was so important about, you know, through patience, we possess our souls, and it's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But I was thinking also that we all have this tendency, I think probably most of us could relate to this tendency to go in and out. You know, I'm walking in love, man, I'm doing really good, and then we get out of it. And then I'm walking in love, and then we get out of it. We go in and out. You know, there's a promise in the book of Revelation to the overcoming church that they will go in and out no more. He says, to they who overcome, they will go in and out no more. Can you imagine the best day of your life you've ever known in love, in faith, in confidence, in hope, in power. And you just had one of those days getting stuck in that and never coming out of it, that the rest of your life would be that. You say, well, that's a pipe dream. No, it's a calling. It really is. We're called to that life. But can you imagine working on that, working out that salvation, walking in that constantly? And I'm seeing Jesus on the cross. And while all this horrible stuff is happening to him, his desire of his heart, his innermost being, is saying, Father, I love you so much. I'm doing this for you. I love you. He never stopped loving the Father. He never once resented his position. And when you and I pick up our cross and have to go through our little struggles, always remember Christ on the cross. He did something we'll never, ever have to go through or experience. And so as we draw near to the end of our broadcast, we've got about 9 minutes left in the broadcast. You know, today we're just kind of driving down the road, and we're wanting to communicate the gospel. We want to be a very balanced people. We've been talking all week about some pretty intense stuff that's going on. And we don't want to, you know, be imbalanced. And yet we believe that what we're talking about right now is just as important as everything else we've been talking about. Love matters. I don't care who's preaching that message. It's a true message. But we have to understand what it is. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not based upon how people treat us. Love, when it's inside of us, number one, has a first direction. The first direction of love came towards us. It's God's love towards us. We receive that, man, when we know we're loved by God. Do you know you're loved by God? Have you had the revelation? Have I had the revelation? Have you stepped up and said, man, God really loves me? How do I know? I read the Bible. It tells me what he did when he sent Jesus to this earth, that he's willing to forgive me of everything I've ever done. Wow, God has delivered me from, you know, all these things. Now, the second direction that must happen with love, now that I've received it, I have to give it back. Where do I send my love in the first place? Not towards my kids or my parents or my spouse, no. Not towards my family. The first direction of the love that I have now inside of me, because the Holy Ghost has come in and shed abroad the love of God in my heart and yours, so I have to give that back to God. God wants it back. It's obviously the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything in you. So the first direction of the love that I've now received, I need to give it back, because love is to be communicated. And the first direction is giving it back to God. Love God. Just love him. And why not, seeing that he loved us first? I mean, he took us while we were enemies. He didn't look at our condition and say, well, I would never love someone like you. Contrary, he loved us in our wickedness, in our evil brokenness. He loved us. So now we can confidently love him back. And then I guarantee that when we're loving God, the next direction is to love our brother, the family of God. Do you know that comes before everything else on this earth? First, to the household of faith, Paul said. So we love the body of Christ. The phileo love. You know, the only church that's not going into the tribulation is the church at Philadelphia. Why? The phileo love. Because their love for each other, the phileo love, the Philadelphia love, exempted them from the tribulation. I will keep you from the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole earth. Wow. There's something to be said about loving one another. And then, of course, that love extends into the storge, the family love. And then the eros, the marital love between a husband and a wife. And then the unconditional agape love for the world around us and for sinners, because we were once there too. So love is to dominate and control everything we do. And I would ask the question, why not? I want it. And I know the only way that could be done is, number one, by really possessing it and then allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. Patricia, your thoughts. And by the way, as I turn this over to Patricia, if we're still happen to be on the air, I don't know if we are, but we are coming to the end of the month, and maybe you would consider a love offering to this ministry. And I want to give you a mailing address just in case you're out there and you're saying, you know what, I want to give a love offering for Omega Radio, for New Wine Ministries, to Pastor Vincent and Patricia, for the work they do. I just want to give a love offering. I want to sow into this ministry. Here's an address you could actually do that. It's P.O. Box 100, and that's in Decatur, Arkansas. And the zip code is 72722. I just want to give a love offering. I want to sow a love gift, a love offering into this ministry. And I and my prayer would be that since you're sowing a love offering, that you would reap a harvest of divine love. I'm not saying you have to buy your love. I'm not saying that at all. Because I know that that's done by the Holy Spirit. But I also know that what you sow, you reap. And if you would sow a love offering into this ministry, into hundredfold soil, we would ask God to let you experience something in a phenomenal way. Again, that address is P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. Or you could go right online to the omegaradio.org, so omegaradio.org, and you could donate online. You could give a gift there, just a love offering, just something in you that's just chilled out today and said, you know what? I want to give a love offering to the Lord into this ministry that he's raised up and is continuing to raise up. Again, I want to encourage you to go to Omega Radio when we get off the air here. Listen, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, some great stuff is up there. You're going to grow exponentially. Keep your mind saturated in the Word of God and stay connected. Patricia, some final thoughts from you before we leave today.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful ministry. The Lord tells us without a doubt that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And what are those commandments? Just what I said. Just what Pastor said. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your being. And love your neighbor as yourself. So you have to love yourself to love your neighbor. And in order to love yourself, you have to love God. It works together perfectly. And one of the commandments, or not a commandment, but one of the most wonderful things that are taught in Scripture is we reap what we sow. If we sow love, we're going to receive love. If we sow in love financial blessings, then we're going to receive in love financial blessings. And is that something that you may say, well, I don't want to use God in that way? It is not a usage of God in that way. It is what God says we should do. It is his idea. It is the economics of heaven, economy of heaven. And so be in love and help us. And we will be worshiping and praising God and thanking him for you with all our hearts. And we ask a blessing upon you even now. We are thankful that you are listening.
Amen. And with our last 45 seconds, I'm going to throw a knuckleball at somebody, okay? Here's a knuckleball pitch. Someone says, well, what about the hate that I feel in my heart? You know there's direction for hate. God said to hate what is evil. You want to find a mystery. Hate what is evil. Love what is good. But always walk in love towards people, towards God. And I'm telling you, you're going to see great success in your life, and you're going to grow exponentially in leaps and bounds. And God's going to make you useful to go and do something. Maybe minister to an orphan. Maybe minister to a widow. Maybe just take care of some people. Remember, stay unspotted from this world. I'm Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've been joined today with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. We're going to say goodbye for now. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Blog Talk Radio. Shalom.